So let's break down that last process and find out all the things that are inside. Of course, we were using the Camilla formula, and the first part, the C, stands for captivate. You've got to captivate someone's attention. Now, the way we did this here is, again, by running a yes set. A yes set kind of takes that problem and it says, these are the problems you're facing. And because they're very much in the front of that person's mind, it tends to also captivate their attention. That's one of the benefits of a yes set. I've also put a little twist at the end there when you say, and that's because you don't know that there might be one way you can still make it. So there's a small hook, which again is designed to captivate his attention. We're also using the carrot and the stick method of motivation. Most of it is carrot, in other words, saying, here's a slight way out. But we're also stirring up the problem, in other words, the fact that he feels like he's going to fail, in order to create a little bit of a way from motivation as well. And that way we have the double motivators acting in unison in his favor. The next stage is O for outflanking the resistance or the conscious mind. The way we're doing that again is to use a little bit of conversation or confusion to overload the critical factor. So we're going into about what he knows and he doesn't know, what he doesn't know he doesn't know, what I know he doesn't know. And all these double negatives begin to pile up to the point where the conscious mind is going, okay, what is it I don't know, you don't know, I don't know. We're switching personalities, in other words, you and I, we're switching negatives until it becomes easier to just go with the flow than to try and make sense of all the little bits in between. So the next stage is to start working with the M, the mood. Now remember, the mood that he's in right now is probably a very bad mood, a negative mood. It's not helping motivate him toward the exam, to study, or anything else. He's feeling anxious, he's feeling afraid, and he's probably feeling depressed and a little bit miserable for the fact that he hasn't done the work he needs to do. All these things have to be somehow cleared up. So the mood that he needs to be in is one where he's more curious, more motivated to learn, and maybe even inspired by the challenge. So the first thing that we do is we're going to activate a pleasant learning experience. We're going to use a pleasant learning experience from his past as a resource to attach to the new learning experience. In this example, we know that he likes skiing, so we use skiing as that pleasant example of a learning experience. And we're beginning to activate it using that revivification process that you learned on CD5, emotional triggers. We're also using a little bit of humor to shake off what last bits of fear that might be left over. So when you talk about throwing yourself off a mountain, again, that actually acts as a reframe, because if you can do something as crazy as that, how can something as simple as learning for an exam be a problem for them? Then we start to move on to an extended metaphor. So going back to this idea of storytelling, we are allowing the mountain to become a reframe as a symbol for the mountain he's got to climb in his own life towards the exam. And as a symbol of the mountain is actually one which he finds pleasant, it becomes more of a motivator for him to be able to climb his own mountain, or at least ski down the other side of it. At the same time, we're using this as an excuse to be able to give some important embedded suggestions in the form of extended quotes. Well done, you did it. You didn't think you could beat it, and yet you did it in the end. So notice these are, again, some positive affirmations which can be put inside the extended quote, and because it orientates him to after the exam's over, it takes away the fear of the exam, because now the anticipation is one of success rather than one of failure. And you're planting that seed, although because you have this dual reality, are you talking about the mountain now, or are you talking about the exams? The unconscious mind will actually take both readings and respond to it as though you're talking about both things at the same time. This is a nice example of using stacked realities or multiple realities in order to suggest different things at the same time. The next point is to take the mood and intensify it. The way we've intensified it here is to use the challenge modality. In other words, make someone step up to the plate, stepping up to a kind of challenge. And because we're still staying within the skiing metaphor, we're adding the fact that the higher the mountain is, the more fun it is to master it. If someone who's a good skier is not going to go down the simple runs because they're just no fun anymore, they have to challenge themselves to keep that learning experience interesting. So this again becomes an instant reframe for the challenge that he's faced with the learning experience itself. whilst at the same time intensifying the mood, because when something is more challenging, you've got to be more focused and more dedicated to get the result. The next step will be to link this to the desired action. It's all well and good having the resources ready and bubbling, but until they're linked to the actual outcome, the actual action required, which in this case is to learn things, then they don't become very useful. Now we're going to use this link at the same time as we're going to reframe the original problem. And we're going to use that metaphor of a mountain to do that. Remember, the mountain is that dual reality that we spoke about a moment ago. So we started off by planting the seed of this mountain being a metaphor for the mountain it's got to climb before the exam. Now we're making it more express. So again, you see the concept of starting off with planting seeds of an ideas and then coming back to them later on and using them more overtly. The next step will be to use that link and link that to a specific action. And the way we're going to use action here is to use a post-hypnotic suggestion for them to start studying, to start learning. Again, we're using the post-hypnotic suggestion protocol that we've discussed here, which is to say we're going to give an open-ended set of suggestions so that there are many different points at which the post-hypnotic suggestions can take effect and the studying begin. So we're giving him the chance to just open reading their notes, to remind themselves when they see the calendar, to do it before they go to bed. All these other activities are trigger points now for the post-hypnotic suggestion to take effect. Now, the important thing here is that we're leaving it open-ended, because in this way, they will begin to generalize so that things that we never suggested in the first place start becoming trigger points for the same post-hypnotic suggestion, which means that they start studying more and more in more and more different environments. So because we've been using the post-hypnotic suggestion, we should use a post-hypnotic suggestion protocol as well, which means the next step is to induce amnesia. This is just to stop them interfering until the post-hypnotic suggestion has time to really have a seed planted and grow inside. So we're using a little bit of amnesia now to distract their attention away from the actual suggestions and stuff that we've been doing, and talk about forgetting and forgetting the right things and remembering the other things. Of course, the suggestions for forgetting can also be used to reinforce the memory for the learning experience that they have to make before they can go to the exam. Finally, we'll finish the whole thing off with some positive suggestions about their personality, about who they are, their self-esteem. This allows the whole package to be wrapped up in a very pleasant and positive frame of mind, so that the more they think about learning, the more positive that experience becomes for them. Okay, now we've broken down the whole pattern according to Camilla's formula. It's time for you to go back again to the previous track and re-listen to it, and see how much of the things that we've been talking about you can spot. As you listen to it, you should be able to now hear the language being put together, you should hear the frames being set, you should hear the changes in paces and tonality, you should hear all the things you've been learning so far being embedded inside of the different things that we're doing. This is an important part of your learning process, because when you can hear it in someone else's suggestions, that means you can start doing it as well.